interact with the show by calling 760-888-5749 or use the hashtag PWPRadio on Twitter. Here are your hosts, Jay Leno and Will TLD Vafidez.
Ooh, yeah, brother. We're on the air once again for episode 8 of PWP Radio. What is up, everybody? We are coming to you live from the one, the only, the Jersey Shore right here in New Jersey. Beautiful New Jersey, although it's raining today and has been for the better part of the last couple of days. I am your owner and operator of ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com, and I'm leading the way. I'm leading the community into something great, something interactive. My name is Jay Oleto, and we'll be joined in a little bit by our co-host, Will TLD Vafidez, who once again is off playing volleyball, probably with his girlfriend. But that's all good, man. Volleyball's fun, gets you in shape. We are Pro Wrestling Powerhouse. We urge each and every single one of you to go out there and get your ass in shape. But real quick, before we get on with the show, I want to make a couple quick announcements. We're still looking for lists, definitive top 20 wrestlers of all time. I've got about 20 lists right now. I'm looking to get as close to 50 as possible. So please email your top 20 wrestlers of all time to prowrestlingpowerhouse@gmail.com. Visit us on Facebook at facebook.com/prowrestlingpowerhouse. And check us out on iTunes. Definitely download your iTunes. Look up the show. You can find links to it on the website. Please rate us. Comment on us. Everything that you can do on iTunes helps put us up those charts. Help us beat the ass of guys that aren't even doing podcasts anymore. They're not even doing radio shows. We're putting out right now 2 shows a week on this channel. We're going to have more coming with our involvement with WrestleEnigma.com. That is right. We've made some sort of a partnership with Russell Enigma, and we already have the SmackDown Rundown coming to you each and every week. It's going to be postponed this week, but we will have some more definite podcasts in the future and radio shows coming from RussellEnigma.com. The future is bright for Pro Wrestling Powerhouse, and we hope that you join us on this journey. Please check out the website. We do have new articles up from Danny Damage, the first installment of the Mid-Card Manifesto, where he talks to you about WWE, TNA, the tag team division, and much more. Please check out. I also published the first top 20 list from a great friend of ours here, Jamel, who has sort of an international flavor to it. So please go on the website, comment on it with our new discuss comment system, and definitely get involved in any way you can. So we're going to get the show on the road. And if you'd like to call in, please feel free. The number is 760-888-5749, 760-888-5749. I'm going solo right now, so if you want to call in and talk to me, definitely do so. We're going to go right in to CM Punk smashing a fan in the face last night on a very eventful and jam-packed Monday Night Raw. CM Punk went through the crowd. If you watch the video closely, and if you watch the moving GIF image that was put up on the internet, you can see that a fan behind the guy that Punk attacked is actually the guy that pushed Punk in the back of the neck that made Punk go off on this brutal, vicious attack on this guy that just seemed to be putting his glasses on. I'm watching the show, an interesting storyline. So we got somebody on the line right now. We've got Wu from Los Angeles, California. Wu, you watched this live. You saw CM Punk do this live on Raw last night. Talk to us a little bit about what was going through your head when you saw Punk attack this fan.
Well, first of all, Jay, I'm really glad to be here. Well, the first thing I thought, I was still jazzed from the whole Mr. McMahon versus CM Punk, like, old school 1998 Monday Night Wars kind of like brawl main event with like crackling everywhere. At first, I thought it was a plant because you know how those things are. They did it back in 2002 with Ric Flair accidentally hitting a fan on SmackDown. I thought it was a plant, but then when I saw the camera didn't zoom in on it, I was like, whoa, this guy's actually a fan.
was going to say, that's the thing. Well, if they're going to put a plant in the crowd, they're going to put a plant literally in the front row or somewhere close so everybody can see what's going on. I'll tell you the truth. I was watching this segment very closely, and I didn't even see this live.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the few production things they did on Raw last night that was actually good, because like I told you before the show started, a lot of screw-ups with the commentary. It was good on the camera guys to not point the camera in that direction, because you could barely see it on the live broadcast. If you look at it closely, you only get it for like a split second though.
You know what you could also notice, Will, was Vince McMahon had this look of shock on his face, and it was something that you could tell he was absolutely immediately terrified by what his champion just did, you know, one of the faces of the company. And, you know, not really sure what's going to happen right now. WWE did release a statement to TMZ.com. I'll read the statement to anyone who's listening right now. And I quote, WWE security was unfortunately not in the appropriate place at the time. Given CM Punk's persona as a bad guy, fans were naturally heckling him, but unfortunately a few fans began shoving him and one struck him in the kidney and on the back. WWE regrets that proper security measures were not in place, and CM Punk apologizes for reacting in the heat of the moment, end quote. And that's exactly what it is, folks. And thank you very much for the call, Wu. Please continue listening. That's exactly what it is. CM Punk reacted in the heat of the moment. It doesn't justify it. I mean, we've seen this happen with wrestlers in the past. We saw Bully Ray almost go after a guy in TNA just recently. We've seen Chris Jericho attack a woman while he was getting into his car after an appearance. We've seen this happen a bunch of times in the past, but it doesn't make it right. So, first and foremost, I just want to say, CM Punk, you didn't do the right thing. Whether this guy hits you in the back, hits you in the head, turn around, confront him. You're the WWE champion. You're the face of the company. You don't have to just spin around and hit him with a vicious back fist and try to pummel his face in. Sure, maybe the guy deserved it, but it does not make it right. You're talking about bad public relations. You know, I'm not a big fan of what's going on with Linda McMahon running, even though I am a Democrat. Let's go Obama, vote Obama. But I'm not a big fan of what's going on there in Connecticut and how it's watering down the product. WWE needs to react in not such a harsh manner. They can't just give Punk a slap on the wrist, maybe give him a fine, but they can't go as far as firing Punk over this, because if they do, it would be a huge mistake, and there's no way they can justify it. So once again, folks, if you're listening to PWP Radio and you'd like to call in and talk, please give a call at 760-888-5749. We're going to jump right into Monday Night Raw in just a moment, but this was a full-blown packed weekend in the wrestling business. There was a lot of news coming out of Rahway, New Jersey, right up north the parkway from me at Ring of Honor. There was a big match between Kevin Steen and Jay Lethal. They've been building this match up for a month. Now, anybody who knows me knows that I've attended many Ring of Honor shows in the past. I've always been a fan of them. But since Jim Cornette took over and the Sinclair Broadcasting era has taken into effect, I really have not enjoyed the product. And we saw firsthand, well, I wasn't there, but from what I've read, there was bad ramifications in Rahway, you know. Jay Lethal's parents were involved in the storyline, which was completely uncalled for. Kevin Steen, the Ring of Honor champion, once again is booked to look like not really dominant. I mean, I know he's the heel. I know he's supposed to run away, but even champions in the past of Ring of Honor, whether you're heel or face, they've been fighting champions nonstop. Kevin Steen should have won this match cleanly. Basically what happened was Jay Lethal hits his finish on Steen. Steen rolls out of the ring, gets into a confrontation with Jay Lethal's mother. Jay Lethal's mother throws a drink on Steen. Fucking Jay Lethal freaks out and all hell breaks loose. Jim Cornette gets involved in a physical altercation, hurts his back, and they announce a no contest for your world title main event in Rahway? You got to be fucking kidding me. So the crowd reacted like they should react. They threw garbage in the ring. They took a shit on Ring of Honor in Raleigh last Saturday night. I am glad I did not attend this show, but we saw what took place afterwards. If anybody is keeping up with Ring of Honor and what's going on, Jim Cornette has been removed as booker. It looks like Delirious is taking over once again as booker of the promotion, and we'll see what happens. We'll see if there's any immediate changes to the product. So hopefully, you know, hopefully Ring of Honor can get back on the right track. Now, Kevin Steen has definitely made a name for himself. This guy is just a crazy, insane son of a bitch, and he's definitely somebody that would have fit in the Attitude Era perfectly. In today's generation, he's not going to make it in WWE or TNA with this gimmick. It just will not work. That's why there's been nobody going after him. You know, maybe it could in TNA, but WWE definitely not. He's a talented wrestler, talented guy, pretty nice guy, actually. His character is kind of crazy, but from first-hand experience, being kicked in the face by Kevin Steen, I just don't know. I don't know what his future holds, and I just don't know what the future holds for Ring of Honor. So, once again, give us a call, 760-888-5749. Monday Night Raw last night started off with John Cena, everybody's favorite wrestler, coming to the ring, addressing the WWE Universe. And he did typical Cena stuff, made a couple jokes, as lame as they were, got the crowd going, excited for the night, and talked some shit to CM Punk, and talked a little bit about Mr. McMahon and the address that was about to start. Let me tell you what, Cena is a class act. This guy goes out there whenever he can, whether he's hurt, whether he's not, no matter what the situation is, he gives it his all, and there's no different on Monday Night Raw. It's a great way to kick off the show. You have to kick off. If you're looking for ratings, if you're looking to make an impression and pull that Monday Night Football audience away, you need John Cena on the broadcast. And that's what they gave us, you know. Anybody who tuned in at 8 o'clock saw John Cena's big smiling mug right in front of their face, and that is absolutely what was needed. But, ladies and gentlemen, I am going to go right now to Will TLD Vasquez. He is back for volleyball, folks. Yay!
Unbelievable.
Ladies and gentlemen, Will TLD Rapidez is on the line. Will, how are you doing tonight, man?
You know, I'm trying to get the ratings up by going on the air after a wonderful night of volleyball, and that is how you treat me? I mean,
that
after
is,
all the things I've done for you.
That's your volleyball intro. Of course, you know, TLD, I do remember the finisher for TLD was the whoopee cushion, so I thought it was appropriate.
Okay, that is true. That is true. Wonderful. Thank you for the wonderful entrance. And thank you all for going to TLDWrestling.com because that is the number two most visited wrestling website other than the Pro Wrestling Powerhouse.
Well, let me tell you what, ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com is far from the most visited website, man. I see the statistics every day.
Listen, they don't know that. They don't know the statistics. You don't have to give that out.
I'm a straight shooter, man. I'm no bullshit. They just call me No Bullshit Jay Leto because ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com is doing all right. But we could always move up to the next level, brother, just like Hulk Hogan says about TNA every week. But, Will, you're on the air with us now. Volleyball's over with. We just talked about CM Punk and the fan on Monday Night Raw that he attacked. And I want to get your word on this. What do you think is going to happen? Will there be ramifications for CM Punk?
Well, I think the fan just got two tickets to WrestleMania. That's what I know. That's for sure. Yeah, it looks bad, you know, and I looked at a couple different videos today to figure out what exactly happened, and, you know, it's mixed. You know, you have to really think about, you know, it's so hard to tell because there was one video where it looked clearly that the kid did nothing, but there was another one where it looked like he did at least push him, but there were a lot of people pushing him out there, you know. So the one thing about being a pro, you know, one thing about being a fan is that you don't touch the wrestler. It's just the biggest no-no that you do. We've seen too many times that happens, and it just doesn't look right. And now CM Punk is going to look like the bad guy. He is a heel after all. And I just don't know what this is going to be. I don't think it's going to get that bad because I think there's a fine line with both people, parties being responsible for it.
Yeah, I have to agree. There was somebody must have taken a small video on their cell phone, and there was a GIF image that was uploaded, and I did put it on the Facebook page, facebook.com/ProWrestlingPowerhouse, where you can clearly see, and this was right up close, right smack on CM Punk, the guy behind the guy that CM Punk attacked reached under the dude with sunglasses, he reached under his arm and pushed Punk in the back of the head, clearly
right.
Pushed his neck forward, and CM Punk just reacted, and he didn't react in the right way. You kind of want to hope that a wrestler, you know, of his stature, you know, the face of the company other than Cena, he's probably second in line right now, he would just turn around and maybe confront the guy or just think about it for a second. But, hey, it's just reaction, you know, Will?
You know, what I hate about this, though, is that this is what everyone's talking about, and they're not talking about Monday Night Raw, because there was some great stuff on Raw, and this one little problem, you know, has now overshadowed the entire show, which is wrong, and there's so much great things that happen, you know, but, you know, is it CM Punk going out to the crowd where there was no security a problem? Yes. You know, is it the fans' fault? You're not supposed to touch the wrestlers, and, you know, you can get ejected for that stuff? Yes. You know, it just happened to be at the end of the broadcast of the show, you know. But otherwise, that kid did, or that fan did look like he pushed somebody into him, or at least he did something to him, you know, not to the degree of where he hit him, but, you know, CM Punk reacted, and, you know, he probably told him to clearly stop touching him, and they kept touching him. You know, it's just a spur-of-the-moment thing. And, yeah, it's going to come back and haunt him. You know, but, you know, we have to wait a week to see what happens. I mean, we're going to see what happens at Hell in the Cell. But, you know, it's a bad thing for him. It does look bad on him big time.
Yeah, and WWE did release a statement, which I read a little bit earlier, to TMZ about how CM Punk basically, unfortunately, reacted to the hecklers and the people that were touching him, and he shouldn't have done that way, and CM Punk apologizes, and he just reacted in the heat of the moment. So I'm sure that this will just fall under the radar in no time.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know what I mean?
But we overhype it with Twitter, and we overhype it with Facebook, and, you know, that's why it gets overhyped to where it shouldn't be at that level. But when we're talking about it on Twitter, and this is the first thing we're talking about the whole show on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse, you know, I just, you know, it takes away from the rest of the show. It takes away from the build, the Hell in the Cell. It takes away from a lot of things that happened on the show. And, you know, Raw was a very strong show tonight.
It absolutely was. We're going to get right into it right now. And I want to, we're going to skip a few, a couple things. You know, we already talked about Cena's address in WWE Universe. You know, we had Ryback destroying Primo and Epico in same old shit fashion. Brodus and R-Truth had a little dance off. Not a big deal, but I want to talk to you a little bit about Mr. McMahon making his return to the show for a State of the WWE address, which really wasn't. He didn't get anything out, and that was the point. CM Punk came, got in McMahon's face. They had an awesome old-school promo and interaction. I mean, this is a throwback to what they were doing last year, but basically CM Punk right now is the full-blown heel, and McMahon is the babyface, whereas last year the roles were reversed. So tell me a little bit about what you thought about this whole thing with Punk hitting McMahon and McMahon challenging him to the match.
Not only do I want to talk about it, but I want the fans to call in about it too. You have the number, right, Jay?
The number is 760-888-5749. If you have anything to say about the McMahon and Punk altercation, please call in and talk to us here on PWP Radio.
Yes, hashtag PWP Radio, ladies and gentlemen. I like the interaction. It stood me on my feet. What I really liked, more so than the interaction, was the fans' reaction, because they reacted, and you could see them stomping and, you know, going crazy that McMahon challenged them, because that was not coming. At least I did not see that coming at all. I thought he was just going to make Cena fight, you know, CM Punk, but that didn't happen, and Yeah, that was definitely a way to start the show. And boy, did you want to watch WrestleMania to make sure to see what happened.
It was one of those rare moments where that McMahon actually shakes things up for real. Like, I know the smile came across my face when McMahon challenged him, and the crowd was going absolutely crazy. You could actually see the camera shake. It was something that
Not only during the match, too. Even during the match, too, and during that segment, you know, the fans were just going crazy. And you know what? It's amazing how those two characters can only do that, and not a lot of the other characters can do that. And it just shows that maybe the lack of depth in the WWE right now, that they are not getting fans to react like that.
It's really tough. That kind of stuff doesn't happen too often. But, you know, seeing McMahon, he was fired up. He was ready to go. And it was definitely an homage to the Attitude Era, I would say, because stuff like that just doesn't happen anymore. But we will talk about the main event in a few moments. Let's move on with the card. The next match we had was Mysterio and Sin Cara advancing to the finals in the number one contendership for the tag team title tournament. They defeated the Primetime Players. I guess this makes sense because you want to book Mysterio and Cara against Rhodes and Damian Sandow. Rhodes Scholars who were victorious later on in the night. But this was a solid match, and as you were saying, Raw was really, really good last night. So what's your take on this match? Does this bump the Primetime Players down the card, or does it just add to them and what they could possibly do in the future?
Well, they needed a face team versus a baby face, a face team versus a heel team in the finals. You know, Zack Ryder and Santino, I knew, were not going to be those guys. So it had to be the way it was set up with the brackets. It just made more sense for Sin Cara and Rey Mysterio to win. Not to mention that they have really cool entrance attire. I am kind of hooked on the entrance attire. They really do look the same. You know, they do a lot of great stuff together. It's just a great team. And it's a classic, you know, the veteran and the newcomer together.
Yeah, I feel like it's going to be Mysterio and Cara against Daniel Bryan and Kane at the pay-per-view.
Going the other way, actually. I think Rhodes Scholars is actually going to be the team that faces them.
You might be right. You might be right, but I think that...
I am right. How many times have we say that, Jay? I am right. I am Mr. Wrestling.
You know what? That's not always the case, Will. And the fact of the matter is...
Hashtag Mr. Wrestling.
That's Kevin Steen. The fact of the matter is that Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara, eventually there's going to be a breakup with this team. When they'll start brewing it, I don't know. I also think there will be a breakup
between... Oh, my God, you're already negative.
No,
I'm already negative on the team.
What I'm saying is,
why can't
we
just enjoy it?
I am enjoying it. I'm enjoying it. I'm not saying there's
going to
be anything negative.
I hope they break up.
No, they're going to break up. I'm not saying they're going to break up. It's going to happen. They want to book. It's been reported all over the place that they want to book Mysterio and Cara at WrestleMania. So the fact is that it's going to happen. It probably won't happen this soon if they're going to build it for that far, but I see both teams, them and Team Hell No, eventually, splitting up. But they shouldn't split up Daniel Bryan and Kane right away because these guys have been on fire. And that takes us to our next major. Well, let's skip ahead in the card a little bit. Speaking of the tag team division, we had Team Hell No defeating Dolph Ziggler and Alberto Del Rio in a hell of a match. This match was absolutely fantastic, and it puts more focus on the tag division. What are your thoughts on the dynamic that took place in this match?
I really do. I mean, it's always a pleasure to watch the Team Hell No or hashtag Team Friendship, together. Great interaction between each other. You know, and even Del Rio and Ziggler look good, you know, especially that they had, you know, the hot, sexy Vicky Guerrero outside. And then, you know, Alberto Del Rio as his other little guy, you know. So it's a good dynamic team, and obviously the right team won. And it just adds more fuel to the fire, especially that Kane was trying to do the fire thing. He had a hard time doing it when Daniel Bryan was trying to interrupt him. So it was really, really good.
Yeah, it just adds to the build with D-Bry and Kane because Team Hell No, every single week, it seems to be that they tease a possible breakup or something that's just going to explode, like the Mega Powers exploding. They tease that's going to happen every week, And that is the intrigue in the storyline, folks.
Another thing I think that's really intriguing is that the commentary team did a phenomenal job tonight. And, you know, they also kept teasing that, you know, how can these guys get along? But then they say, well, they always find a way to win. They keep putting them over as, you know, when they're in trouble, they get together as a team, you know. But they always, the commentary always tries to also add that little tidbit that how can these guys coexist, you know. And it keeps adding more dynamic with the commentary, which I couldn't figure that.
There's been a breath of fresh air to the commentary right now with Jim Ross and JBL.
I mean, JBL had a heart attack, and now we're all excited about the commentary. Does that feel a little wrong?
No. It has nothing to do with the heart attack whatsoever. It has nothing to do with Jerry the King Lawler suffering a heart attack. This has to do with the fact that WWE had a backup plan that they implemented that is actually working. So it's not the fact that he had a heart attack. It's the fact that this is effective. You know, JBL and Jim Ross had some banter last night back and forth, where you can actually feel like there was tension in the air. You know, these guys haven't been on Raw consistently in a long, long time, and they're probably not exactly following the script at hand or listening to Vince Bark orders them the headset all the time. They probably go off script a little bit and jab each other because, you know, they're two legends and they can get away with it. So that is definitely a bright spot on Raw. And let's talk about another big match. We're going to backtrack here. They gave this away for free on Raw, and it kind of puzzled me at first. But when I saw Big Show make his way down to the ring, I got it. They're trying to build to the match at Hell in a Cell between Sheamus and the Big Show, which I guess won't actually be in the cell. I'm not sure at this point.
They're going to have one Hell in a Cell match.
And I guess that's apropos because they haven't had a match yet in general, Sheamus and Big Show. So we had Sheamus and Barrett going one-on-one in a great matchup, I thought. You know, I thought it might have ended right away. I didn't think they would actually have a match at first, but it ended by disqualification. Sheamus gets the victory, but Wade Barrett really showed us something. He showed us that he is a player. Not like we didn't know that already, but he is fucking ready to go. Whatever WWE wants to put him into that main event slot, they can. So, Will, let's hear his thoughts on Sheamus versus Barrett on Raw.
Yeah, I was a little mad they gave it away for free. I thought it was going to be short too, but they gave us a match, and it was a great match. You know, with Ireland and England against each other, and in a clean victory because obviously Tensai is a little mad at Sheamus. You know, but Big Show strong at the end, and Big Show is definitely, you know, that bump that Sheamus took by the way was oof, that looked bad. I mean, that didn't look too good when he hit his head. I'm surprised he was right back up and. Although a good match between the two, you know, two guys just want to fight, but I think they could have saved that. But that's where Barrett needs to be. That's where Barrett should be at. Because next week now he's going to be down fighting JPG or something.
Man, they need to keep this push with Barrett going. I don't know if this was just for the sake of stacking the card last night to try to keep the audience, but Wade Barrett is definitely a player. He's going to be something big, and I enjoyed the match. Yeah, Sheamus took a hell of a bump. This match was physical. They beat the hell out of each other, and they do have a history, not in WWE. They used to wrestle each other back in the independent scene throughout Europe and actually in FCW. So these guys have wrestled before, and it was refreshing to see Sheamus wrestling somebody that's big and strong like he is and who is a main event star. But speaking of somebody who's big and strong, I really enjoyed this match. It was short. It did what it had to do, but Antonio Cesaro defeated Tyson Kidd. And Tyson Kidd is a guy that we haven't really talked about too much here on the radio show, but we did a little bit allude to the fact that he just doesn't have a character. He's just Tyson Kidd, and that's all he is. And he's going to rely on his history in the Hart Dungeon for the rest of his career. So what would you do, Will, in a fantasy situation? Say they gave you the book right now and they said, listen, you need to make Tyson Kidd a player in the WWE. What would you do with Tyson Kidd?
I would have had Tyson Kidd go over in that match, either by a quick roll-up or Cesaro not making a mistake, because that would have made him strong. And give time on the mic, you know, after he won that match, you know, if he beat that match, type it up where it's like, you know, that was a great, you know, where he can go in the back, say that was a great win. You know, I want to, you know, go to AJ and say, hey, I'm ready for a U.S. title match. Just to get the United States title kind of going, Cesaro, even though Tyson Kidd wouldn't won, you know, he was really good at Money in the Bank, and then we never saw him again. He did a really great performance there. But, like I said, he just doesn't have a character, and he doesn't have – he's with Justin Gabriel, but that's not really a team, you know. So there's not much you can really do with them. They're over, they already got their Sin Cara, and they already got their Rey Mysterio. You know, those guys are kind of the same idea. They just don't have that chemistry, or they don't have a character like the primetime players developed into. So that's the problem. But Cesaro, man, oof, that uppercut is deadly. What a, you know, only certain people can pull that off. But man, that was a great uppercut, and it was really good. I liked the match. It was very fast paced. But Cesaro needs something more than Tyson Kidd. Sorry for all you fans that really love like that kind of stuff.
I think the WWE is trying to find somebody to pair up with Cesaro. You know, every single time he goes out there, he delivers. And he's a great character. Tyson Kidd also delivers, man. He is just spot on. If you watch him closely, everything he does is so crisp. He may be one of the most talented wrestlers on the roster. Actually, no question about it, I think he is. But he just doesn't have that identity. So maybe WWE is throwing...
I go back to the point, and I always bring up, is that wrestling does not make you a star. It's being an entertainer that makes you a star.
Tyson Kidd needs to get out there and create an identity for himself in some way, shape, or form. WWE putting him with Cesaro might have been a test run to see how they work together. Maybe there's a program in the future, but seeing that Cesaro squashed him, probably not. If they want to get Cesaro over, they need to give him somebody that is threatening, somebody that could he could feud with for the United States title for the next few weeks leading into Hell in a Cell and beyond, because with him just going out there, not defending it, just squashing these guys in non-title matches, it really doesn't do anything to elevate the belt. So hopefully WWE gets their shit together. And speaking of getting their shit together, Will, this didn't take place on Raw, but the news broke before Raw went on the air that WWE has demoted Brian Gewirtz, the head writer for Raw, over the last decade. They have demoted him, and it looks like things are really starting to shake up backstage. Do you think, Will, that there is going to be a different direction in the future for Monday Night Raw?
No, not at all. That's the end of that question. I just don't have any. Right now, there's nothing different.
Well,
the only thing that's different right now is CM Punk is just developing into the biggest deal in the company. And unfortunately, and Ryback is turning into one of the biggest faces in the company. And that's what's going on right now.
This is obviously a Vince McMahon implementation that he wanted Ryback to be on top of the card. And we had a different feel to Raw last night. As Jim Ross said, there was kind of an attitude type of feel to that main event. And maybe that's something they're going to start going towards, giving a little more shock value on the show on a week-to-week basis. Because if you're going to go 3 hours, you need three things. You need to be entertaining throughout the whole 3 hours. You need a lot of wrestling, and you need a little bit of shock value mixed in. And I thought we got that last night. But something that was not in that realm, your boy, The Miz, was on Larry King. And this might have been worse than the World Heavyweight Championship debate last week. And I blame that on WWE giving Larry King a live mic. What the fuck are you thinking? Larry King is 90 years old. He doesn't need to be on Raw. He's not a big star anymore. They should have brought Arnold in to be on Raw instead of just tweeting. I thought that would have made a huge splash. But The Miz is on Larry King. Boring segment. The one thing that we got good out of this is that we know R-Truth and Kofi Kingston are officially broken up as a tag team, and we saw Kofi get inserted back into the singles division. Looks like he's going after the Intercontinental title, and he's somebody that The Miz can have a great match with. So you just heard my take on this, Will. What were your thoughts on this segment last night?
Actually, I didn't mind the segment at all. I know a lot of people are crashing on it, but I thought it was pretty funny. But, you know, Miz is really getting on his wife, and they were saying some pretty personal things that The Miz was saying. So and by the way, did you know it was Miz's birthday yesterday?
No, I did not know that.
He said that during the segment. You obviously are not watching Raw.
No, I'm watching Raw, but I tune out The Miz. I don't even fucking give a shit about him, man. I'm not a big fan of The Miz.
Just because you forgot the Miz's birthday because I sent him a fruit basket and everything, and I know he got it. He told me personally. You know, you owe it to him to give him a happy birthday shout-out right now.
All right, Miz, here's to you, buddy.
You know, I just,
that's what I think of the Miz. I'd rather see Doink the Clown than the Miz. You know what I'm saying? I'm not a big fan of the Miz. This segment fell short because of the Miz, and that's that. I'm not giving the guy a happy birthday
good
shout out.
The Miz?
I did watch the segment, man, and I blame WWE for putting Larry King out there with a live mic, but I also blame the Miz. I mean, this guy, he's just been bland on the microphone lately. It's just that the really thing is getting old, and, you know, I'm just not a big fan of the Miz. So and we all know that. But moving right along here, Monday Night Raw, we're moving along pretty good. I didn't crash Sheamus this week. I don't mind Sheamus in the ring. He's trying really fucking hard, but I just don't think he's funny at all. He's got to stop trying to be funny. He did that once again on SmackDown, and I just think he's got to, that's not him. That shouldn't be his character. He's not a funny guy. Going on with Raw, Road Scholars, we talked about before, they defeated Santino and Zack Ryder to move on to the finals of this number one contendership tag team tournament. And I think the story here is the band came out at the end and once again targeted Santino. And this is kind of bizarre. Yeah, you're a big fan of the band.
No, it's fabulous. I told you last week this is going to be the greatest stable. This is going to be better than NWO and D-Generation X combined.
Well, we know you're playing with yourself when you say that, but truthfully,
no, I
mean,
with myself, okay? I don't need that. I already have my people to take care of that for me.
Well, truthfully, though, I mean, let's talk a little bit about this faction. They don't really have too much of an identity. I mean, I looked at it, and it just really looked awkward out there. I looked at it, and I said, what the fuck is Jinder Mahal doing when he's doing some weird dance or something? And then Drew McIntyre with this crazy head banging, he just looks like he's out of his mind psycho. I think that gimmick could actually work for Drew. I think, you know, maybe that would work. But right now, we're going to go to the lines. We got a caller. It's, hey, it's our area code, Will. 732 area code. You're on the line with Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio. What's your name and where you're from? And 732 just dropped out. So sorry about that, 732. Let's go to 917 area code. You are on the air. This is my boy, John Dimaselli from Brooklyn. John, you're on the air right now, and we're talking about the band. Heath Slater, Jinder Mahal, and Drew McIntyre. Let's just jump right into this, John. What are your thoughts of the band?
I like it. You know, the first time on SmackDown, I was like, what the hell is this? But you know what? It's starting to grow on me, and maybe it was just me last night, but I want to see more Jinder Mahal dancing.
Yes. That could be his new gimmick. Maybe they're going to ixnay Brodus Clay and Jinder Mahal could be the new dancer on the show. Who knows? But
You know what this reminds me of? Rap is crap.
Let's fix this redneck.
It definitely reminds me of that.
These guys
I want them to become a music video.
They seem out of place besides for Heath Slater, who obviously has this one-man band gimmick. We talked about this last week a little bit, and I just want to know, is the band going to grow, Will? What do you think? Are they going to add more of these jobber guys to the band?
They're not jobbers, okay? They're the band, and I don't think they need anybody. I think these three are just fine because people were like, oh, where's Drew McIntyre? Or how come Jinder Mahal's gimmick? Jinder Mahal was a typical gimmick, Arab gimmick. Now he's got something that is totally different than his Arab gimmick, which is great. And the leader, of course, is Mr. Heath Slater, the man that is most over in 2012.
Well, out of these three guys, I think the one that can get moved up the card a little bit is Drew McIntyre. But it's obvious. Yeah, I think so. Out of the three, I think Drew McIntyre is the best out of the three. Who do you think Heath Slater is better than Drew McIntyre?
Yeah, absolutely. he's more entertaining after what they put him through with all the WWE legends leading up to Raw 1000. They didn't put Drew McIntyre in there. They put the one man. Yeah, Jay, say it.
Nah, you're just using your gimmick right now. All right. There's no way you can actually think. Drew McIntyre's had pay-per-view matches. He's had 25, 30-minute matches with guys like Kofi in the past that were fucking entertaining. But I've never seen Heath Slater have a great match, and that's something that you need. You need to be able to put together something fantastic in the ring on pay-per-view, and Heath Slater just hasn't had that. We'll see about that. He's entertaining, but he's a joke right now, and I really think that if you want to move a guy up the ladder, and you're looking at Drew McIntyre, but Heath Slater's the leader of the band, and I personally think they are going to add to the band, whether they pull a guy off of NXT to debut somebody, you know. I think they're definitely going to add to it.
That would be pretty funny.
It was definitely funny last night. I laughed my ass off when they came out. It was just random. But we've got to talk about the main event. Man, this had a main event feel, big fight feel, man. And I was worried that when CM Punk attacked Vince from behind to start it, I was worried that the segment or whatever wasn't going to really happen. I thought maybe it would just fizzle, you know, maybe Cena would come out and there'd be some microphone bullshit. But McMahon and Punk had a hardcore brawl that is fucking old school, man. You don't see those on Raw anymore. It's been a while since I saw something like this. And it was ugly. It was brutal. McMahon was bleeding from his ear, from his eye, and that's just from his old weathered skin. You know, if you're old guys, you cut easy. It's just natural. But McMahon really took it to Punk, and it was very, very fucking entertaining. Then Ryback comes out. It was just absolutely awesome. I loved everything about this segment. There's still a lot of Ryback haters out there. I get it. I understand you, but I just don't see it in my own eyes because this guy is athletic. He's fucking strong. He's got charisma, and the crowd is getting behind him like I did not expect. So, John, I'm going to shoot it to you. What did you think of this segment with Punk, McMahon, Ryback, Cena?
I actually thought it was really good. I like the fact that, you know, a lot of people that I read from places online today were a little upset that, oh, you know, there's Vince, you know, at almost 70 years old, beating up the WWE champion. But it wasn't like a straight-up wrestling match. It was just a fight. You know, the 10-6 spot was amazing in this, you know, in a PG era day and age. I like the fact that Vince held the belt hostage. I would have actually, wouldn't have minded seeing Vince actually leave with the belt and use that as, like, it's time for you to make a decision, and you're not getting this back until you do. The Ryback thing was perfect timed. I was a little worried they were going to send him out early. Cena getting involved to chase Punk back was good. And I like, and I don't know how many people caught this, but right after Vince said, you got to make a choice, it wasn't long that Cena and Ryback both threw each other a little look. And it was very basic and very quick. But just to acknowledge that, it's going to be one of us, but I want him just as bad as you do, and maybe if I have to go through you to get him at some point, I will.
That look that you speak of, that made Ryback. It's little things like that in wrestling, the psychology of it, that can make a guy shoot up the card in an instant. And that look that you're talking about, because I noticed it too, that Cena gave to Ryback, that put him on the level, although all the smarks out there, the IWC, is still going to hate on what Ryback's doing. WWE doesn't give a shit, man. They see money on him. I see money on him. And that's just how it is. And, Will, what's your thought on this whole segment?
If anyone thought that CM Punk looked bad because a 60- or 70-year-old guy was beating him up, here's the thing. When you're thrown into a post or you're getting hit with a microphone, you know, it hurts, okay, bottom line. That's what they're playing off, you know. And the segment where Paul Heyman tried to beg all night and then eventually trying to sort of beat his ass and Paul Heyman got knocked out and holding the belt hostage with CM Punk, and that's how you put the WWE title right in the center of the ring with the champion of the WWE and the champion who wants that, who believes that belt is more important than anything in his life, and he can't get to it unless he grabs a kendo stick and goes after it. You know, just simple things, and then that kendo stick fight got the crowd going. I mean, they had to hit the camera angle so many times because the crowd was bouncing up and down. You know, Sacramento, God bless them, they made that whole night, too. They earned, you know, it's those certain towns that Sacramento, New York, Chicago, that can really, you know, make something look better than it really is. You know, and that's what the crowd did. So they get a lot of props, except for that one fan. But also, Ryback coming out, he finally got the clothesline Punk, but that's all he got. But the fans went nuts, you know, when Ryback got that clothesline. And a great ending, you know, to the show. You know, I thought it was great that now he's got to make a choice, and he has to make it next week. And it's been a good build. Even though we don't know the match yet, the match itself has been built up.
Exactly. And that is the point that I've been trying to make for weeks. The crowd went absolutely apeshit when Ryback clotheslined Punk. It reminds me a little bit of when Goldberg speared Hogan in Atlanta in 1998. You know, the crowd had wanted it for weeks, and it happened. I'm really glad he did not hit the shell shock on Punk, though. You know, he still got that build-up towards that happening. And when it eventually does happen, and it will happen, whether Ryback wins the WWE title or not, and I don't think he's going to. I think it might be a little early to go that route. But
now
whether
that's
it happens, who knows, though? You know, you just never know with WWE, but the crowd is going to go apeshit again, no matter where they are in the country, when he hits that move on Punk, and it's going to be awesome. So Raw, I would say it was great last night. It was enjoyable. When Raw goes fast like that, when you just breeze through it and it's 3 hours long, that's when it's the most enjoyable, and WWE did a great job. So
I don't know if you guys touched on it, but the ratings came out. They only lost, 2,000 viewers from hour 2 to 3, which is a phenomenal number considering where they've been in recent weeks, and considering you had a good, really good Monday Night Football game on, and you had the Yankees on prime time. That's actually a good number, and, you know, it shows when you put something entertaining on, you know, it's going to draw.
And you also have the Jets on. You know, the Jets are another big market NFL team that will pull away from the Raw audience. And, you know, hey, McMahon did all the things that he could to get to pop his rating, and he did. And next week, you know, it's always going to be tough for WWE during Monday Night Football and the baseball playoffs. And McMahon knows it, so they're going to do everything in their power to keep the audience. But I'll tell you what, once football season's over with, the road to WrestleMania starts kicking into full gear, those ratings will be back up in the threes, no doubt about it. So
One thing I wanted to bring up, too, guess Hell in a Cell is in Georgia. How ironic is that?
How do you mean? What's the irony?
Well, Hulk Hogan versus Goldberg. Goldberg won the
belt. Okay, right. I can see that.
I'm just saying.
I can see where you're going with that. There is a little bit of irony there. The Goldberg-Ryback comparisons, I don't really see the Goldberg-Ryback comparisons like other people do, although it's the same type of gimmick. But, because I look at it as two different eras of wrestling. Goldberg, back in 1997 and 1998, was in WCW, and they had a million guys in the roster. They had talent that has been solidified for 10 years that Ryback was able to go through, like somebody like the Barbarian, who's been in the WWF for years, and all of a sudden he's a WCW guy, and Goldberg mows him down, so that automatically gives him credibility. It's not really that way right now with Ryback. But I do understand the comparison. It's the same gimmick
the problem with Ryback. The problem with Ryback is, and it's not his fault, is that unlike Goldberg very rarely on TV went through the same guy twice. The problem is we've seen Ryback go through Slater a million times, go through Mahal a million times. Like that was where it got a little for him. And that's one of the main differences between him and Goldberg, though.
All right, guys, we've got about 10 minutes left. I wanted to touch on this before we go into TNA iTunes Overtime. We're going to be talking about TNA, Impact Wrestling, Bound for Glory, the build, what they did last week on the show. We're going to be going into that at 10 o'clock. Make sure tomorrow you go to iTunes, you download, rate, and comment. I can't explain to you how important it is to rate the show and comment on the show, because we are putting out shows every single week. Not just right. this one, but SmackDown Rundown, and as I said earlier, we are adding more radio shows as we go along. And we are below
this
in the
Sunday
rankings.
As well.
Yeah, and don't forget about that. Yeah, we'll talk about that as well. There will be a Bound for Glory post-show starring TLD himself. But I can't stress how important it is to go to iTunes and rate us, download us, comment on us, because we are putting out quality content every single week, and we are still below these podcasts and radio shows that don't even have any content on their page. It's making me nuts. So I need all you guys to band together. Please help me out. Give us a rate.
Band.
Give us a comment. We need to move up the rankings on iTunes. But before we get into TNA iTunes Overtime, I want to talk a little bit about Stone Cold Steve Austin. Now, this is something
that's... Jerry, hold that thought for a second. I'm going to lose you on my cell phone. I'm going to call you from another phone. This is me calling in now.
Okay, John. No problem. I want to touch on Stone Cold Steve Austin real quick, Will. Stone Cold Steve Austin has been brought up on Raw week after week by CM Punk. Now, whether this means anything in the grand scheme, or they're trying to put over the video game, or they're just trying to, who knows, maybe they're trying to just stir up some shit leading into WrestleMania. But CM Punk, Austin, there seems to be a dynamic there. Austin put a video out on the internet last night responding to Punk. And he basically said, you know, hey, it's Stone Cold. You know, you call yourself the best in the world. You're a damn joke. I'm not going to get carried away because I haven't seen the promos. But you are looking and listening to the best in the world, and that is Stone Cold Steve Austin. That's the gist of what he said. And I don't know, Will. WrestleMania's around the corner. It's right here in our backyard in New Jersey. Could this happen at WrestleMania 29?
I'm worried about his injury. I just don't think Stone Cold's going to do it. I think they're stirring the shit up to make the fans really, really want it. Stone Cold pretty much stopped wrestling. And unless he's physically healthy to do it, I don't think he'll do it. If he doesn't, you know, I don't want to say it has to be the main event, but I would say it has to be the main event. Because if there's one guy, you know, and CM Punk to me would have to be the WWE champion. He would have to beat The Rock. And if he beats The Rock, then I have a feeling that it would happen. But if he doesn't, then I don't know. But they're just trying to stir the shit up, because the bottom line is that CM Punk is being compared to Stone Cold. And he's trying to tell everybody, I'm better than Stone Cold Steve Austin. And he's using that because he knows he'll get heat. He's using the biggest name in wrestling history to get that heat. You know, and that's why he's doing it. So that's my opinion on why he's doing it. It's not because he wants to fight, I'm sure he does. But I think it's just to get the fans to hate CM Punk, because Stone Cold is barely brought up. Unless CM Punk brings him up, you know, and he's not really mentioned that much, you know. But that's my look on it, and it's a great idea. Because then it would make the legend want to come out and get in front of his face. And that's, if you build that up right, as Austin said, I'll go to WrestleMania just to give him a stunner. Even if it's just a stunner, you know, that's already the build-up, you know. So we'll see.
And one of our writers just mentioned in the chat room that Patrick Ketsa, that he believes this will happen at WrestleMania 30, and that is just what I was going to say, that this is the type of angle that you can build for a year or more. It's kind of like,
yep.
You know, the Rock and John Cena thing was something you built for a year exactly, but we all know the shit was being stirred for years before that, you know, whether it was in little interviews or somebody interviewing The Rock and asking him about it. It started off slow. And it started off slowly but surely, but WWE seems to be putting a little bit of a focus on it, so maybe they're just trying to plant the seeds and work it in for a year from WrestleMania 29 and do it at WrestleMania 30, which will be an absolutely huge show. So, John, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I was going to kind of go there, that I could see this being, especially with how successful Cena Rock was, even with the year build, I can see this being set up maybe as early as WrestleMania 29. And if WrestleMania 30 ends up being in Dallas at that Cowboy Stadium, that's just a no-brainer. You know where I stand with WrestleMania. I think Punk Cena cultivates at WrestleMania. What's to say WrestleMania doesn't end with Austin coming out and stunning Punk, and then the next night on Raw saying, I'll see you in a year, and there we go.
Yeah, it's very possible. And who knows about Stone Cold Steve Austin's injury, too. I know he stated that he's not going to be able to walk right for a while, but Stone Cold hasn't been able to walk right for fucking 20 years, so I don't see how that's going to stop him.
Forget the injury. Austin's not going to play third fiddle to The Rock and Brock Lesnar and Triple H and The Undertaker this year. That's never been Austin's thing, and I think that and the knee surgery is why you're not going to see it this year.
But will there be involvement? Like you said, it's possible there could be some physicality down the road, but I personally don't really see it happening, the physical part of it anyway. There's going to be a lot of trash talk. We saw the video hyping up the video game coming out, WWE 13. The WWE pulled that video off YouTube, and they got it
awesome.
Shut down. It was absolutely awesome. The fucking, I don't know, I can't explain it. It was just the anger in that room when those guys were talking to each other just resonated, man. And I watched
and the best part was, I think it was Austin that kept saying it, we're talking about the video game, right? You know, like just like that little comment right there was like, oh, man, you know.
And Jim Ross alluded to it, too. He kept saying, well, this is all just a video game, you know, let's calm down here. And there was just that awkwardness that you could see from all three guys sitting there. It was just, it's a great way to not only build up the video game, but continue to plant the seeds for this possible rivalry. So we got about a little under three minutes left. We're not going to be taking any more calls, obviously, tonight. We're hoping to have Matt Gration join us, who's our TNA writer. I will be posting his review of last week's Impact on the website tonight after the radio show. He had a lot to say about the build for Bound for Glory, and we're going to talk about him. But Will, I know you're leaving to get showered after volleyball or whatever. So give us your thoughts on Impact real quick before we go into overtime. What was your thought on the show? You told me you thought it was a good show. So what do you think?
Yeah, I like the build up that Bully Ray got, where he's now the man, you know, to be with Sting, which is an odd combination of aces and eights. I think that's good. You know, I think they built up that whole night just for that moment. I just think that overall the storylines progress very nicely on the show. You know, and this week, you know, we'll see a lot of talking, not too much wrestling, I think. But, you know, I think Bound for Glory has been built up nicely. You know, it's not the wow factor show that I, you know, have to see. But I'm going to be watching it because, as you know, Sunday night right after 11 o'clock Eastern time, I will be hosting the wrap-up show for PWP Radio. Make sure you join us that night for my very first shot at Radio Hit Stardom. It's going to make PWP history.
I will not be joining Will next Sunday after Bound for Glory, as I will not be watching the show live. I'm definitely going to listen, though, and maybe I'll call in and weigh in if something big happened, but I will not be the host. Will be your host. Don't forget, folks, bookmark it now. I'm going to put the event up in the next couple days. We are going on the air live right after Bound for Glory at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. A special post-game show of PWP Radio, a Bound for Glory edition. If you want to call in, that is the time to do it. And it's going to be a big show. No matter what takes place, there's going to be a lot of eyes watching it, whether you're going to stream it illegally or order the pay-per-view. Personally, I urge you all to order the pay-per-view because we don't want to be stealing from these wrestling companies. It's just not right, in my opinion. But we're good. We got 30 seconds left in the show. We're going into overtime. Make sure you download it tomorrow on iTunes. Ladies and gentlemen, this is PWP Radio. Join us on Facebook, facebook.com/ProWrestlingPowerhouse, Twitter @PWPowerhouse. Thank you for joining us, everybody. And, you know, make sure you have a great night and keep listening. You know, we need those rates and comments on iTunes. So once again, for Will TLD Vasquez, John Dimasoli, keep it real and join us tomorrow on iTunes for TNA iTunes.
TLDWrestling.com.
All right, folks, we are on overtime, and it looks like Matt Gratian did not make it in. He called. I guess the call got dropped. So we do not have Matt Gratian on the line, but it's me and you, buddy, me and you, John. Looks like we got another number in, though. Looks like we got somebody else in real quick, John. 936 area code. It looks like you're on the air with PWP Radio. What's your name? Where you're from? 936. Hello, 936 area code. You're on the air. I do not know who 936 is, but you are no longer on the air with us. And John, we're going to get right into Impact Wrestling last week. This was I guess it was kind of solid of a show. I mean, I haven't been intrigued really by what's been going on with this Ace of Ace angle, but we started off with Mr. Anderson taking on Gunner one-on-one, and Mr. Anderson had a convincing victory trying to show Sting that he is the guy to be Sting's tag team partner at Bound for Glory to take on the two Aces and Eights guys. What were your thoughts on Mr. Anderson being a possible candidate for Sting's tag team partner?
The problem is Anderson hasn't done anything relevant in months, so it was like you're going to reintroduce him now. See, this is what TNA does. They push these guys back, you know, kind of like what Vince does, and then all of a sudden out of nowhere they're supposed to be relevant again. And it was just so disgustingly obvious Anderson wouldn't be the guy, and they tried to push him so over the top. You know, and on top of that against Gunner, I mean, what has Gunner done?
Exactly. He's been in a makeshift tag team with Kid Cash just because they have tattoos. That's the only reason they're in a tag team together.
I mean, Gunner was so hot a year ago. I mean, you know, and to see what he's become is just, it's just typical TNA.
Yeah, and if you look at their roster, John, and you just alluded to this, these guys, they have a ton of guys from WWE from, like, the 2005 to 2008 era that just get lost in the fold. I mean, there's just not enough room at the top of the card for these guys, and I'm going to just skip ahead a little bit. You said Mr. Anderson, but another guy is definitely Rob Van Dam. I mean, Rob Van Dam is a former WWE champion, one of the biggest stars in wrestling history, former TNA champion as well, and he pretty much got squashed by Samoa Joe. What were your thoughts on this match?
See, I actually like this because this is what Joe needs. Joe needs to start, you know, if you're really going to make him a serious threat, especially with that TV belt, these are the type of wins that he needs. But then it's like, am I really, you know, if he beat Van Dam clean, and Van Dam's been doing a lot of that lately, which makes me wonder about his future there. I mean, is Magnus, of all people, really the threat for the TV title at Bound for Glory? I mean, especially when Magnus hasn't done anything on TV lately. You know, Joe's going to squash him. I think it was the wrong match. I think you should have had Joe squash Magnus on Impact and have Joe face Van Dam at Bound for Glory.
Yeah, exactly, and I've been talking about this week after week. You're going to uncharted waters in Phoenix, and you want these notable guys on the card.
Yeah.
There could be fans going to the show that have no idea who the fuck Magnus is, and just looking at TNA's ratings, that could very well be the case. But overall, Rob Van Dam is the type of guy that can still deliver on a consistent basis, but it just doesn't seem like they're too hot on him right now. I don't know what his contract situation is. I don't know if that even matters. That's up in March, yeah. Maybe he's on his way out. Maybe they're just going to, you know, have him put everybody over, and that'll be the end of RVD and TNA. But, you know, I'm always going to be a Rob Van Dam fan. And, you know, he got squashed with Joe, but as you said, it's the right thing to do. They want to build up Joe and his television title. It's a good way to do it. So,
yeah.
Moving right along with the show.
It gets two things over. It establishes the TV title as an important belt after all the, you know, the mess that title has been, from the Legends title to the Global title to all that. And it gives Joe a solid, legit win over a main guy. So, you know, it was well done both ways.
Absolutely. We had Al Snow and Joey Ryan in-ring segment. And, you know, a lot of people don't like Joey Ryan. A lot of people legitimately don't get his gimmick or understand what he's doing on TNA Wrestling right now. I've seen Joey Ryan's career for a long time in Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. I've seen a lot of his stuff out there on DVDs. I've seen his work in Ring of Honor, where he was brought in and built up with a lot of vignettes, which is something Ring of Honor doesn't really do often. And he was built up as a major player there, although he kind of fizzled out quick. I think they really just didn't feel like flying him in every week to their East Coast shows. But Joey Ryan definitely is the type of guy that he's young, he's got a unique gimmick, and he can talk on the stick. And that's three things that TNA really needs. So they officially made Al Snow versus Joey Ryan at Bound for Glory. What are your thoughts on this angle coming to a head at BFG?
I'm fine with it, and Ryan should go over. That's the right ending, and maybe once we get past this, now we can have Gut Check be, you know, close to being legit, you know, not this farce that it's been for the last 2 months. But, yeah, Ryan should go over. That's the right call. Snow's the right guy to get him over with, especially, again, you know, to a guy that a lot of people may not know. And I could see maybe the X Division eventually being built around a guy like Ryan.
Here's a question, and this is just stupid. It's something I'm thinking about, but does WWE have the head trademarked? Is there a possibility that Al Snow could come out with head at BFG?
Ooh. I don't. You know what? They might. He hasn't done anything with that post-WWE.
I think that would be terrific. I think that would be, like, definitely something that would make any old school fan that's watching pop, you know, if he came out with the head. And they could even do it this week on TNA Impact Wrestling. They could kind of show Al Snow kind of getting into this like zone type of thing. He used to go crazy back in ECW and in WWE.
Maybe TNA would have to call it the face.
Yeah, could have to call it something different. But I think that would be funny. We had finally a fucking X Division match on the show, which has been a rarity. Zema Ion defeats Doug Williams, and in definitely impressive fashion. Doug Williams seemed to hurt his shoulder when he got ran into the ring post, and Zema Ion put him in this vicious submission hold and ultimately would not let it go. Doug Williams seems to be hurt. Zema Ion talked a bunch of shit, saying that he's the guy, he should be the guy that Sting and Hogan picked to be Sting's partner, but, you know, it's below him. He's not going to fucking do it because he's such a pretty boy and shit. I'm really not digging Zema Ion. I don't see him as a credible champion. I don't really see what the big deal is. What are your thoughts on Zema Ion, John?
This would be great 5 years ago when the X Division actually mattered. It just seems like they're waiting for Jesse Sorensen to get healthy to destroy Ion and take that belt from him, which is a shame when you have a guy like Kenny King sitting on the sidelines, and it's really a shame what that division's become. But Ion's probably the best guy for this role. The problem is they just have no more focus on this division. 5 years ago, Ion would be a star, hands down, and he'd be a main focal point of the show, and that promo on Sting would actually have meant something. Now it's just like, yeah, whatever, I'll see you in a month when you're back on TV.
Yeah, exactly. They did no build for an X Division match at Bound for Glory, and they should really have an X Division title match on the show. I mean, this would be a good moment to do it. If Doug Williams is in a submission, why not have somebody, anybody? Where the fuck is Kenny King? Have somebody run out and help Doug Williams and just start a little bit of a feud. I mean, you don't have a lot of time, but you have 2 weeks. You know, start a feud.
You know, you got your finger on the pulse more so, you know, than I would, especially since, you know, you got your relationship with Rhett Titus. But how bad could things have been at Ring of Honor that this right now was a better option for King?
Well, you know what Kenny King did, and I really see this as a business decision. He was in negotiations with Ring of Honor. They don't pay their talent a lot of money. It's that simple. And he is a fucking star in the making. I know he is. I've seen him wrestle 100 times. He is fantastic. And I really don't know what TNA has done with him. He hasn't been on the show at all. He's sitting there on the roster. He's charismatic. He's fantastic. And another thing is, I'm going to just say this, and I'm not going to bullshit around it. It's been known that Jim Cornette is kind of a racist. You know, I don't know this from personal experience, but I've heard rumors along the line that he might not be too fond of black guys, so to speak. And whether or not that had anything to do with it, of him getting a better contract or him working something out long term with Ring of Honor, that's something that we won't ever know. But Kenny King obviously took a better deal to go to TNA, and I'm sure he's getting paid, you know, so why not utilize him? This would be a perfect situation, and who knows, you got one more show, maybe they'll do what they can to get somebody on the show. You want to put Zema Ion over, I get it, but do it on the biggest stage that you have. You know, don't just throw him out there on the show without any build. At least give him somebody to wrestle and tell the crowd what to expect.
Where's Dutt? Where's Dakota Darso? Where, you know, Dutt's probably a close enough of a name with an old school TNA audience that if you put even them together in Phoenix, you know, I can understand you want, like you said, you know, it's all about making Ion look like $1 million. But, you know, Dutt's probably the closest guy with name value to do it. Have Dutt, you know, put him over, you know, do something. But the fact that belt is not going to be defended on this show, and that's TNA's staple, is just, it's baffling.
If you really want to put the guy over, and I've always called for this, I know they don't want to put him down to this level of X Division. It's always looked upon as certain guys are in this division and they can't really crisscross, even though Austin Aries kind of broke that mold. But why not put RVD with them? I mean, we just talked about how RVD has been losing cleanly, and why not just have him focus on the X Division title? He's the type of guy, I called this a while ago, years ago, I thought RVD should have won this belt and held it for a long time to get prestige back into it. But why not put RVD with Zema Ion?
Yeah.
He could be Zema Ion's biggest threat. You know what I'm saying, John?
And Van Damme's the perfect, I guess hybrid would be the right word to use, hybrid guy that is a world title contender but can also be an X Division guy. You know, especially when you got some guys that fit that mold. You know, you have AJ still, you have Daniels, you have Kazarian. You know, RVD would be that guy that could, yeah, I like that. That's a great idea. I would book that, you know, Thursday night on Impact, as bad as it would be for short notice, but that match could draw, and if you're trying to have Van Damme put everyone and their mother over on the way out.
Yeah, and if you really believe in Zema Ion as a champion, that is what needs to happen. He needs to have somebody credible to go over. So, you know, moving right along, I'm going to skip the Gail Kim Tower stuff. You know, I don't give a fuck who Tower's talking on her cell phone. It's stupid. Who gives a shit? Chavo defeats Kurt Angle.
I got a feeling though, we may find out Sunday.
Yeah, do you think it's a former WWE star?
Yeah.
Do you have any idea who it could possibly be?
I'm leaning two ways. I'm leaning either Chris Masters or John Morrison.
Yeah, you know what? John Morrison would make sense. I mean, that. Yeah, but Jesus, could he really be conceivably dating Tower in a storyline? I guess. I mean, I guess it makes sense.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, she was around with Melina. You know, that could have worked. And what happened to that? Wasn't Melina supposed to be the mystery mask chick that was running in here and there, and they stopped that out of nowhere?
Yeah, who knows? Who the fuck knows? I don't even, actually, to be honest with you, I don't even remember that. So that's how much it made an impression on me. But, yeah, hopefully they do reveal that. Hopefully it's something and not just bullshit, because from all we know from TNA, it could just be a little thing, like a little just try to get Stacey Keibler's name and George Clooney's name or whatever on the show. But
yeah.
Chavo defeats Kurt Angle in a match that is what it is. You know, these guys always seem to deliver. But to see Chavo actually beat Kurt was something that kind of surprised me. I mean, they're trying to build up this three-way tag team match at Bound for Glory, and this is a little bit of a way to do that. But I'll tell you what, man, I'm digging the WWE tag division a lot more than TNA's right now, and I want a prediction from you right now, John. Who do you think is going to walk out of Bound for Glory as the TNA tag team champions?
I still think Daniels and Kazarian, only because I could see Hernandez and Chavo as good face challengers for them, chasing them. I think AJ and Angle are at a point where they could, you know, probably go their own way. So I think Daniels and Kazarian could retain, and, you know, maybe November, December, you see Chavo and Hernandez grab those belts from them after a little bit of a chase.
I'll agree with you there. I think that Kurt Angle, the bigger story is Kurt Angle here and AJ Styles. I mean, obviously the time is kind of ticking on Kurt Angle's career in TNA and in wrestling in general. I mean, who knows how many more matches he really has left. I'm sure the guy can go for a lot more years, but whether he wants to or not is really the question. I see him maybe having two more years left, and in wrestling that's really not a long time. So, you really got to put him back as a single star. I really don't like how they constantly turn Angle face and heel. He's been switching back and forth so many times over the years that it just makes your head spin. But if you really – he's got to be at the upper level of the card in some way, shape, or form. So, yeah, I agree. I think Daniels –
Even if he's putting someone over, which he doesn't have a problem doing, yeah, you know, he needs to be doing a little more than just, you know – teaming with AJ here and there.
Right. Next up, your favorite storyline, John. Bobby Roode and James Storm with the King Mo involvement. Let me tell you what, man. This angle, we've been criticizing it week after week here on the iTunes portion of the show. And I just got to say, taking one look at King Mo out there, wearing the crown, looking all jacked up, he really looked like a superstar to me, man. And he fucking decked Bobby Roode. So this segment surprisingly added a little bit of intrigue for me personally to the match. You know, I don't know which way it's going to go. I can honestly see King Mo turning heel because he's not a babyface type of guy. So I just...
Here's where you and I are going to differ big time.
Okay, well, this is what we're doing right now. I want another prediction. What's going to happen at Bound for Glory?
Moe's going to knock Roode out, and that's how Storm's going to win, which is going to be the official bend over and take it in the ass for the last time, nail in the coffin to this feud. I thought Moe looked like an idiot last week coming out with that crown and that cape. I mean, dude, I get that's his attire for his MMA fights, and, you know, once he starts wrestling, you want to come out like that, that's fine. But to come out like that, to be introduced to the crowd, you know, I thought it was like, and then on top of that, he lays out Roode already and then drinks the beer with Storm. It's like, dude, it's like, whatever happened to, like, you know, I don't know what you guys are thinking, but, you know, don't none of you mess with me. Like look at the setup for Sid when he was the referee at SummerSlam 91. He told Slaughter, Sheik, and Adnan, don't mess with me. I'm not going to take your shit. And then had no problem coming out, you know, a week later, I'm telling Hogan and Warrior, I'm not going to take your shit. And it was well played in the sense of you didn't know which way it was going to go. This Thursday night, he laid out Roode, which they've managed to kill Roode. I think this feud has just completely destroyed his character. And on top of that, they buddy-buddied him up with Storm. I mean, I guess this week he can have a confrontation with Storm. But he's just not needed for this feud. This feud had so much going on its own. You don't need this clown for this feud. You know, and more importantly, you know what's going to make it worse? What happens when he loses in an MMA fight? Then what?
Oh, yeah, that'll definitely take the steam out of him. He'll I don't even know when he's scheduled to fight. Is there a schedule for King Mo's fight?
I don't think he's got even anything scheduled yet, but eventually, I mean, that's the whole point. He's going to do both. So,
yeah.
You know, what are we doing here? This is the same thing when Shamrock wanted to go back in 99, and everyone questioned why did Shamrock never come back? Because Vince told him, if you lose, you're useless to me. And what did Shamrock do in his fight? He lost. So now Mo's going to go out there, and heaven forbid he loses the fight. Now Bobby Roode got knocked out on the biggest stage of it all by a guy who got maybe knocked out or tapped out.
You brought up a great point, something that I definitely did not think about. And, you know, you're absolutely right, John. I give you credit for thinking about that angle. And maybe that's something TNA has thought about. But knowing their history, they have not. And they don't give a shit. They're just trying to get as many eyes on this pay-per-view as possible. And, you know, it's been known that if you throw...
Thing. If he loses, they're going to do the same thing they did to Bobby Lashley. Because you know what? Dixie Carter ran the same sit-down interview that she ran with Kimo on MMA Uncensored. She ran on Impact with Lashley. And what happened? Lashley got hot in TNA and then took time off because he was going to go do his fight. And what happened? He lost his fight. And have you seen Lashley since? No.
No, you're absolutely right. He hasn't been back. Although I've seen that he kind of wants to make a comeback to the professional wrestling world. I've seen him talking about it out on Twitter a little bit, and Bobby Lashley is a guy that could be definitely a coup for WWE because he's got, you know, experience there, and the fans would recognize him right away, guaranteed.
Yeah.
So who knows? Maybe he'll be back someday. But a couple minutes left. One more topic here, John, and that's Aces and Eights. We had Bully Ray defeat Jeff Hardy on the show, and once again, Bully Ray's victorious. I believe that's like 2-3 weeks in a row where he comes out on top.
Yep.
And or maybe 2 weeks in a row. I don't remember. But I know
he's
that
he's been on a roll.
Yeah, he's been on a roll lately. He's been winning matches and he's been being built up. And this is where the story takes a turn that was kind of foreseeable. I believe we talked about this last week, that Bully Ray turned out to be chosen as Sting's partner for Bound for Glory. Sting talked about it earlier in the show. He kept an eye, said, be the bully. Go out there and be the bully that you are. So Mr. Anderson gets attacked by Aces and Eights, gets his ass kicked. Basically, the camera cuts back. You see Anderson laying on the ground with a pallet on his leg, of all things. And then you find out that Bully Ray is the guy. It's going to be Bully Ray and Sting versus Aces and Eights. And this seems predictable, John, but let's get your official prediction. What's going to happen with this match at Bound for Glory?
Oh, Ray's definitely turning. Without a doubt, they're gonna destroy Sting. It'll probably be a case where Sting will probably get worked over. He'll go to make the hot tag. Bully may deck him or drop off the apron, whatever. This would have actually worked better with a six-man, because then what you could have done Thursday night was have Aces and Eights cut a promo saying, you know, how do you know, you know, you may not be able to trust one of your guys. You do that now, then obviously it's going to be Sting and looking at Bully. But with a six-man, it could have worked, especially if you had, you know, maybe Bully and Anderson together. You could have played up, like, which one is it? They could have played off the asshole thing with Anderson, the Bully thing with Ray. But, yeah, I mean, it's going to be overly predictable. The only thing is that I've seen in some places now is the Eric Bischoff thing from last week. It was meant to throw us a curve. So who knows, again, where this may all – who may all be behind it.
I still think it's Eric Bischoff, you know.
He can't stay
out of the spotlight for this long. I mean, he's a member of the company. He's gonna he'll be back in the storyline, and I think he's definitely involved. But hey, I agree with you here. It's an obvious heel turn. Well, not heel turn, but it's obviously turn to Aces and Eights. Bully Ray already is a heel, and he's just going to join the faction, probably be the face of the faction. But it just, I wonder if they're going to reveal anybody else in it. Like, you know, these wrestlers, it's going to probably be Gallows and somebody else. It's not confirmed yet, but they are going to be competing in disguises like usual. And do you think there's going to be any reveals at Bound for Glory?
Yes, I think it's going to be total reveal.
They have to. They really do have to.
I think we're getting the total. And I'm starting to think, I was thinking about this week, I'm starting to think Bischoff's obvious. Jarrett's obvious. We know about Gallows. We know about Wes Briscoe. But maybe the only thing maybe TNA is setting us up for is when we, you know, as we're sitting here saying since last week that, oh, you know, Bischoff's got to be the figurehead. Maybe those guys may be members. And I'm just wondering if we're missing somebody, maybe on an obvious end for being the leader. You know, with those guys all involved, maybe we're missing someone outside the box as really being the mastermind behind it.
I sure as hell hope it's not Hogan. If they do this, like, if they turn Hogan again at Bound for Glory, man, that would be a huge backfire, I think. It better not be Hogan. Maybe it's Kevin Nash. Maybe Kevin Nash, he's been sitting on the sidelines for a while. Maybe he's back. Maybe he's involved. Who knows what's going to happen? But,
I don't know, but I'm starting to think there's something more to it.
Yeah, it does make me a little bit nervous, to tell you the truth, because this can either be really good or it could be absolutely horrible. And just, I guess we're just going to have to wait to see. And that concludes our show, our iTunes Overtime. We just talked about Impact Wrestling, and I just want to tell everybody who's listening on iTunes, to please, please, please comment and rate, no matter what you say. Well, if you hate the fucking show, if you don't like John, if you think John's an asshole, or you think Will is a know-it-all, please go and just tell them about it on iTunes. Say, John, I hate you. You suck. Or say, Will, you talk too much. Whatever you want to say, do it.
I hate you, you suck, and your little internet video blog is horrendous.
If you want to do that, do it. You have a voice. I want you to join me over on Facebook, on our community page, on our group page. We're doing a lot of talking and chatting on the daily things that are taking place in the wrestling business. It's also important that you go to ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. We have a lot of fresh articles. We freshened up the look of the site a little bit. We have a new comment system using Discuss. So if you've ever used Discuss in the past, please go there and comment. We have a working relationship now with WrestleEnigma.com. Please go visit WrestleEnigma.com. They have a lot more writers than we do. They have brand new, fresh content every single day. And they'll also be providing some more radio shows right here on the channel. So we're going to be pumping out the content, different people, different shows, different concepts. There will be no SmackDown Rundown this week. I know people listen to it. I see the numbers. There won't be a SmackDown Rundown, but there will be a Bound for Glory post-game show. And, John, you're more than welcome to call in with Will if you want to and talk about Bound for Glory. Are you going to be watching it, John?
I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to catch it Sunday night, so I got to see.
Well, yeah, I know I'm not going to be watching it. My eye is going to be glued to Dexter and Boardwalk Empire and the usual shit and Sunday night football that I watch on Sundays. So
yep.
If you want, though, John, feel free to call in and talk with Will about it. I'm going to look at the results, and Will's going to be going on the air at 11 live right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Yeah, usually if I don't get a pay-per-view, I follow the results online and, you know, go from there. So
exactly.
You know.
I'll have the updates on Twitter all night. So I'll be paying attention, but I won't be watching it. And if I don't watch it, I don't really like to give a comment on what took place. Although earlier tonight I did talk a little bit about what happened at Ring of Honor. But nonetheless, we're going on the air live this coming Sunday night. Bound for Glory post-game show. And the future's looking bright for Pro Wrestling Powerhouse, so please stick with us. Give us your feedback, whether you hate us, whether you love us. We want to know, you know, anything we can do to improve the show. Do you want different kinds of content? Would you rather hear about maybe history of wrestling, maybe different content from the past? I know I had this idea that we were going to take questions from people in the group, but we're going to hold that off until next week. There was just so much stuff going on with CM Punk and with a great Monday Night Raw. We are going to kick off next week's show with questions from the group. That's how we're going to kick it off.
Wait. We might have something on King Mo here. Hang on a second. I'm watching
Spike.
Do we have breaking news?
Breaking news?
Hang on. I'm watching Spike right now, and they are advertising him. Hang on 1 second. And it's not an Impact commercial.
It might be King Mo's debut.
Okay. Bellator is debuting on Spike in January. That might be your show where he fights MMA.
All right, so King Mo might be debuting with the Bellator promotion. He's formerly from Strikeforce. He might be debuting on Spike Bellator promotion this
January.
That's breaking news here. And you know, going back to what I was talking about, please get involved with the show. We're working hard. Every single day, John's writing some great articles. We have some great new writers on the website providing fresh content and
all that
good stuff.
I got something for you this week on 10 great feuds that if WWE had monthly pay-per-views would have been on pay-per-views back in the day. 10 great feuds that never made it to pay-per-view.
Be on the lookout for that, folks. That sounds like a great article. Those lists and countdowns, I love them. Speaking of that, last announcement tonight before we go off the air, please send your top 20 wrestler list. I'm looking for as many lists as possible. I published one today on the website from Jamail. Please send them to prowrestlingpowerhouse@gmail.com. We're trying to compile all these lists to make a definitive top 20 of all time. And we've got about 20 lists already, and looking at them, every single one is different, and that's what I love about doing this, is we're going to find the definitive top 20. It's going to take a while, but I'm going to be releasing these lists pretty much one at a time throughout the weeks and throughout the days on ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. So, for John Dimaselli, Will Vasquez, Wu, who joined us earlier tonight, we couldn't get Matt Grayson on the line, which is a shame, but I'm Jay Leto. I am your host, and this was PWP Radio. I'm going to give you a song to end your night, and it's Dusty Dan by The Oceanaires. Please visit them at facebook.com/TheOceanairsMusic. Thank you very much for listening, and have yourself a great night. Keep it real, PWP Radio.
Whiskers, they touch your face, they tickle down your body.